are now listening to an inspirational message from the Greater Shallow Missionary Baptist Church, where Dr. Michael Wesley Sr. is pastor. Please join the service in progress.
Oh, about God is an awesome God. Isn't he awesome? Yes, he is. I don't think we sometimes put enough emphasis on God and on what he says. I think we tend to put the emphasis on ourselves. I think that can be problematic. But let's get into this word for the morning. Join me now in this time of prayer. Father, we thank you for blessing us today with the privilege in life and with the opportunity for worship. Thank you for the songs, the scriptures, the prayers. Thank you for the fellowship together of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for loving us and blessing us through another week's journey. We pray for our brothers and sisters whose names we called earlier. Circumstances and situations you are privileged to know. And dear God, each one of us in a real sense have need of you. One degree of grace to another. We thank you for this moment that we have to sit at your feet and to hear your voice as you speak to us. So I pray that you would remove your human, lift him out of self and fill us with your spirit. Speak to us and through us in this moment. And bless now the words that are in our mouth and the meditations that are on our heart, that it may be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer, we ask it now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to direct your attention this morning to one verse of scripture. The verse of scripture has only two words in it, and I'm going to try to preach from it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and the verse is verse number 16. And that verse simply but powerfully says, rejoice evermore. This is the word of God for the people of God. I want to preach from the subject this morning, rejoicing always. Rejoicing always. Now that has gripped me because of all of the sorrow and brokenness and hurt that I'm aware of in our human world. Among our family members, among our friends, among our church members, co-laborers. There's so much that's wrong and going on. And there are so many people that are gripped by depression as a result of the wrong. And I wondered out loud in my conversation with God, I said, what is it? And he said, in terms of things are not going to get better. He said, men will wax worse and worse. So situations are not going to change to cause us to feel better. He said, but I've given a command. And the command is rejoice always. And I start to think about it, And I thought about all of the people that I begin to know, just begin to go down the list and think about people that I know need to rejoice, need to be able to rejoice. But I know some would say, but I can't rejoice, Pastor. Are you aware of what I'm dealing with? And you're asking me to rejoice? Yes. Because it is not my word, it is the word of God. And what God spoke about it is this, and it may sound controversial to many, but there is no circumstance that can occur in the life of a Christian that should diminish that Christian's joy. I'm going to say that again. There is no circumstance in the life of a Christian or a believer that should diminish that person's joy. Now, I'm not saying that everything in life you ought to like, you ought to be happy about. No, happiness comes from happenings or happenstance kinds of things. Something has to happen in order for the temporary feeling of happiness to occur. But so what is this joy you're talking about? How in the world can we get there? Let me lay it out to you. First, this writing here comes to us from the Apostle Paul. And Paul is writing to the people at Thessalonica. When we were there, they didn't say Thessalonica. They said Thessaloniki. That's how they pronounce the name of the city. It is the second largest city in all of Greece. And it was so even at the time of the Apostle Paul. He came there, as you know, on his second missionary journey. He went first into the northern part of Greece, up around Philippi, and he got beat up real bad there. His body was stretched in stocks and imprisoned and over nothing, really, over the fact that he cured a girl. Cast the devil out of a girl. They should have been happy about that. But people get upset by money. So they beat Paul and Silas and they put them in prison. And once Paul was let out, he tried to go to the next little city, went down into Thessalonica, and the Judaizers came from Philippi down there and they stirred up trouble. And he had to leave there after only 3 weeks. Of being in this city. We saw the little market square that Paul was in, where they've still, in its naturalness, is still preserved. Paul left that. He went on down to Berea. The people came from Thessalonica down there stirring up trouble. And finally, Paul went on down into Corinth and then in Athens. And it was from Corinth that he writes this letter back to the people at Thessalonica, because he was only there 3 weeks preaching. And he talked a lot of good stuff in the short period of time. He talked to them about the relationship that a Christian should have to their pastor, to their shepherd. The relationship of sheep to shepherd. And then he talks a little bit about, and I won't get into that today, he talks about the relationship that sheep should have to sheep. But then he introduces a new relationship, which is what I'm pulling from this morning, where he talks about the relationship that sheep should have to the great shepherd, to God himself. See, it's one kind of relationship that you have when you're talking to me. It's another kind of relationship you have when you're talking to each other. But it's a different kind of relationship that you have when you are talking to God. And what Paul is saying to these people in rapid fire succession, that there are some things when you are talking to God that ought to change how you feel. And he said, there's nothing in life that could occur that could block the Christian in his conversation with God that won't allow him to rejoice. So first we need to understand, what is this rejoicing? If it's not happiness, what is it? It is a different kind of joy. You can't rejoice on your own. This is not natural. It is a supernatural joy that's produced inside of us. See, most of us think that we can only respond when we have feelings about it. I don't feel like it. But see, you're basing feelings on feelings. But what this is, rejoicing, is basing feelings on facts. And what is the fact? The fact is there is nothing in life that's too hard for God. And when we build an understanding that even though I may not understand it, and even though I may not can handle it, but God, you can. You see, you made me. See, it is, that's what the psalmist said. It is he who made us, not we ourselves. We are the sheep of his pasture. When my car breaks down, I ain't got no problem taking it back to the folk that make it, because they know what's going on. This week we had a problem here in the sanctuary. We had prepared a plan B for y'all today because the lights went out. The power went out in the sanctuary. Everything else working. I mean the music and all the stuff, the video and everything. But the lights up here went out. And they said, well, that's what we're going to do. I said, call the people that installed them. The people who put them in here. Call them, get them here. And one guy came out and he looked. He said, oh, no, that's too much for me. And he left. See, that's the way it is with some problems in life. Some problems in life, I just take a quick look at them. Oh, that's too much for me. But when you got the right one in here, who really understood what the man discovered. Oh, he went around to the light panel and he did some crazy stuff right there. And a floppy disk popped up. And he said, your problem is the floppy disk need to be reprogrammed. Now, how old that is? How many of y'all even know what a floppy disk is? I know the children don't. But my point is, when something breaks, you go to the folk who made it. So when life breaks, we go where? To God. And in our conversation with him, he says, rejoice evermore. So what is this rejoicing? It is the gut feeling. Here's Wesley's axiom, the 101. The gut feeling that's down in my belly that say there is nothing that God can't work out for my earthly good and for my heavenly glory. If you don't fix it on this side, he'll fix it on the other side. And so he's going to work it out. He's going to work it out. And that's the confidence that I have. And so then what is this rejoicing? And how do you do it? How do you be able to rejoice when life is throwing you all of these crazy things and all these ugly situations and time after time? And I mean, they don't come lightly. It's not like in the boxing man arena when they just jab. And no, they be coming with haymakers. They wind up and try to knock you out. So how do you do that? You have the confidence in your heart that God can handle it. So how do you build that? That's what I want to talk to you about. Because that what I'm going to give you about eight things here, nine things, maybe ten. And that would help you understand how you build the rejoicing part. First and foremost, why should we rejoice? Why? Somebody would say, why should we rejoice? Didn't we read in responsive reading? We'll weep with those who weep and mourn and laugh with those who laugh. Yes, you can do both. In the human emotion, yes, you can weep with somebody who's weeping. That's a human thing, entering into koinonia, a fellowship, a sorrow with another person on a human level. But on a divine level, you can still rejoice. You can rejoice no matter what. It's a choice. And since it is a choice, it involves my will. And God is not going to act without my involvement. So I have to participate in the rejoicing process. I have to be willing to trust what he says and do what he says do to push me out of the way and get through to where God wants me to be. And when I can do that, I can find that I can rejoice. I don't have to like it. I don't have to agree. I don't have to understand it, but I still can rejoice. Let me tell you how. Let me tell you why. The first reason we ought to rejoice is because it is an act of appreciation for the very character of God. When I know who God is, and I appreciate who God is. God is the creator and the maker of this world. He made everything, every tree, every star, every sun, every moon, every person, every situation, even the ugly ones that we don't like. God made it all. And as an act of appreciation for him being the sovereign of the universe, if he brings it into my life, I got to know that he understands it. And so if you tell me to rejoice, God, I don't understand, but I'm going to rejoice anyway. Not only as an act of appreciation of who the character of God is, but him as Father, but not only him as Father, but it's also an act of appreciation for the work of the Son. When I realized that God had a Son and his name was Jesus, and Jesus came to the earth and he did nothing but what was good, and he was hated by people. So why in the world can I not understand that people are not going to like me? And it's not that Jesus did anything wrong to anybody. He helped everybody, fed thousands, healed all manner of sickness and disease. But in the end, it was only 120 people that was in that upper room. All of those thousands of folk that he had blessed and helped, not all of them stayed with him. And guess what? What does that tell you about you? That not everybody is going to hang around. Everybody love you as long as you feeding the fish and the loaves. Long as you walking on the water and you stopping storms, then everybody call your name. But see, what you got to have is an appreciation of who he is, of who Jesus is, and the finished work. What did he do? When he went to the cross, not only did he die, but that death meant he paid my sin debt. And that means now I am included in God's family. And as a family member, I don't have to have the first seat just to be in the family. It's good enough for me. And so I can rejoice. I can rejoice when I think about the finished work of Christ. That man, here I was, a sinner on my way to hell, and the Lord rescued me from the pit of darkness and now has secured me a place in heaven. Yes, I can rejoice. Third reason we can rejoice is when we recognize it's an act of appreciation of the work of the Holy Spirit. When I rejoice because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is who God has now that takes up residence in me. God lives in heaven. I've never seen him, and you haven't either. And I didn't personally meet Jesus on the road in the earthly life. But how I know he's real is because he has deposited the Holy Spirit in me. And the Holy Spirit does these things. He makes Jesus real to me. He brings back things to my remembrance. He shows me things to come. He gives me understanding of what has been written in his word. And when I read what I read, and I can rejoice. There was a man whose name was Job. Job lost it all. Job had 10 children, and God took them all in one swoop. But Job said, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. In spite of how you treat me, in spite of the fact that I don't understand what's going on, I'm still going to rejoice. Now, this is not something you can do on your own. It is produced in us supernaturally by the same Holy Spirit. And so that Holy Spirit in me gives me the ability to be able to rejoice even when I want to cry. Are y'all hearing me? Number four. I can rejoice when I think about all of the spiritual blessings that I've received in my life. That's why they used to sing this song, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God has done. I dare you to count them. I don't care how depressed you may be. I don't care how wrong things may seem. You start counting your blessings. You start thinking about, well, God, you got me out of this, and God, you brought me through that, and God, you did this, and God, you did that, and God, you did this, and God, you did that, and God, you did this. When I was 5 years old, you did this. When I was 7, you did this. When I was 9, you did this. When I was 13, you did this. When I was 15, you did this. When I was 17, you did this. When I was 20, you did this. When I was 25, you did this. When I was 30, you did this. When I was 40, you did this. When I was 50, you did this. When I was 60, you did that. And you start going like that, and I guarantee you, you'll find yourself rejoicing. All of the spiritual blessings that God has brought in your life. And you'll realize that God didn't do it because of you. A lot of it, he did it in spite of you. Wasn't that I've been so good. It's not that I've been so right. It's not that I've thought the right things or said the right things every time. It is not that I necessarily deserved it, but in spite of me. Anybody ever had an in spite of you blessing? Think about those in spite of you blessings and see what you find yourself doing. Yes, Lord. You know, and every time, see, when you go down now, this ain't the first time you ever been down either. And it won't be the last time you'll be down. And so you're going to have to be able to think about what God did to you before. So that when you go to that place again, you'll know the same God who did it last time can do it now. Number 5, what makes me rejoice? Why? What builds this in me is when I realize as an act of appreciation that the providence of God is at work. God help us. Y'all know what providence is. Providence is when God takes every little situation in all of life and he makes it work for your good. God will line up earth and heaven. God will line up situations. He'll make people come from nowhere that you've never seen before and make them bless you. Yes, he will. Yeah, anybody ever had God do that? Ever had you walking through a door, you didn't know how that door was going to open, and you get there, and they just open the door and roll the red carpet for you, because that's the kind of God we have. And when you understand that he has the power to molecularly and structurally rearrange everything in his creation and work it out for your good. That's the promise in Romans chapter 8. And we know that in some things, in bad things, in only good things, no, in all things, God works for the good of them that love him, them that are the called according to his purpose. At the moment, it may not look good. At the moment, it may not feel good. At the moment, I may not even understand how good can come out of this. But that was another song that said, we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes and all of the saints of God are gathered home, we'll tell the story how we overcome, and we'll understand it better. By and by. Some of us might have to wait on by and by before it all lines up, but we can be sure that God's going to line it up. He's going to work it out for our good. I can rejoice. I can rejoice when I realize that when I rejoice, I'm demonstrating an act of appreciation for every hitter's answered prayer. Oh, man, you think about how long you've been praying. Has God ever answered any of them? He didn't answer a bunch of my prayers, man. And I mean, I've prayed for some stuff, man, that was just unimaginable, beyond my ability to ask or think. But every one of them, God has answered. And his answer hadn't always been yes on every one of them. Some of the things God, I wanted, God said no to. But I thank him today for no. Oh, come on now, y'all pretending in here. Listen. Some of y'all know when you were praying for that guy or that girl, and God told you no. And now you see that God answered your prayer. You tell him thank you. You tell him hallelujah. You tell him bless your name, Jesus, that you didn't do that. Look at you, would have messed me up. That you knew what I didn't know. Think about all the time God did answer. Sometimes his answer is yes. Sometimes his answer is no. And sometimes his answer is wait a little while. But he does answer. And when I realized that there were some things, I'm glad you held back from me. Because if you had blessed me with some things too soon, I would have messed myself up. Are you hearing me? A lot of young boys, man, who never worked on a job, never worked on a vegetable truck, never worked in a meat market, never worked in a store. Then they signed a $251 million contract. And 3 years later, they dead broke. Because they got it too soon before they were ready to handle that. And that happens to a lot of people in a lot of different ways. But I can rejoice when I think about the prayers that God has answered. The times he dried those tears. The time when he moved me in a different place and stretched me and made me grow. And made me think different about myself and made me think different about circumstance than I wanted to think. Made me get over my anger. Let me resolve some of my issues. He did all of that through answered prayer. And I'm grateful today and I can rejoice. So you can rejoice when you recognize that answered prayer is part of that process. I can rejoice when I realize that the scriptures is something to be appreciated. See, when I read the scripture, you know what the word promises? That the scripture, the word would be a light to my feet, a lamp to my path, and I got guidance. I don't have to stumble anymore. I don't have to guess about what I'm doing. That God gives clarity and guidance on a daily basis through the word. When I'm troubled, there's a word. When I'm happy, there's a word. When I'm feeling blue, there's a word. When I'm feeling green, there's a word. Whatever the situation is, there is a word from God. And when I realize all I have to do is just keep looking, just keep turning, keep on, then I find myself rejoicing. Sometimes it's early in the morning when everybody's asleep. Sometimes it's late at night. Sometimes it's when I'm riding down the street by myself and I find myself have to pull off the side of the road and just hear what the Lord is saying. Anybody ever had to deal? God had to deal with you like that, man. I keep a notebook in my car because sometimes he reveals it so fast. And I said, thank you, that is. He made me wait all week long just to give me two words. But when he dropped them, he said, rejoice always. And I started thinking about, oh, God, look at you. Look at you. What was wrong with me? Why did I doubt? Why did I have any reason to not believe that you wasn't going to come through? Number nine, you can rejoice when you realize that you got fellowship with other believers. You realize that you're not in this world by yourself. Sometimes you may feel like it. Sometimes you don't want to be bothered with other folk. But there are other people. And that's one of the values of having a church home. Is because in a church home, you have other brothers and sisters in Christ. You have other mothers and fathers in Christ. You have other people who have gone through what you are going through and then some. And that blesses us. That blesses. It used to bless me when I come to the house and there was a brother or sister that was there that could talk to me. and could encourage me or help me through some situation, and some things was embarrassing. I didn't want to tell nobody, didn't want nobody to know. But I found refuge in having somebody that I could unload to. And God never intended for you to have to live in this earth all by yourself. No man, the poet John Donne say, is an island. No man stands alone. He said, each man's joy is joy to me, and each man's grief is my own. We need one another. We really do. And that's why in the scripture we find, pray for one another, bless one another, help one another. You know, all of the one another's are there to remind us that we got somebody. But you know, we're not satisfied with that, but that's what helps us to rejoice. And I tell you what else I rejoice in. I rejoice in the gospel being preached, the preached word. Man, there have been times, man, when I've come to church before I was preaching, when I wasn't doing the preaching, that I sat under preaching. And even now, as a preacher needs to be preached to. Everybody needs preaching. And when you receive biblical gospel preaching, it changes things. I'm not talking about somebody clowning or somebody cutting up or somebody entertaining. That's entertainment. But I'm talking about fireball gospel truth. Telling it like it is. And sometimes that word will cut through the bone. Cut you deep. But thank God. Thank God for all of the people that have been saved through the preaching of the word. You know, when I was young in this thing, man, and I came to the church, man, and it was an older membership, and I was a young boy, and I'd be sitting out there one week, and people would be there, and the next week they'd be gone to heaven. And I realized that they were dependent on what little gospel they could get from me to get in them into heaven. So I realized it wasn't no place to play. It wasn't no place to throw off and throw rocks and stuff like that. Just tell folk the truth. Think about the people that have been saved. Think about the people that's been delivered. That's what Paul was saying to these people at Thessalonica. Man, listen, they don't want me to do it, y'all. That's what Paul was saying. They're coming down here from Philippi because I helped somebody up there. I helped a young girl get free from her slavery. And just 3 weeks, I was just wondering, was it enough of a deposit that was made in you guys to really make a difference? And Timothy has just come back with word that y'all have been blessed and you're holding on and your example is going all over Macedonia and Achaia. And I know the word of God is being preached and people's lives are being saved. And I know just this morning, I was watching the broadcast and I got a text from a dear friend in Nashville, Tennessee. And she said, I was just watching you on Impact Network and just wanted you to know, you blessed my soul. Oh man, that rejoices, that causes rejoicing. It causes rejoicing when we open the doors of the church and people come. You can rejoice. But I want to tell you this, and I got just a few minutes to say it, so I'm going to just cut this part a little bit. But one of the reasons some people cannot rejoice is because there are hindrances. There are things that block your rejoicing. And I want to give you three of these, and I'm going to let you out. The first hindrance that I think blocks people from being able to rejoice is a false salvation. People are not saved for real. It's a difference in being in church and being saved. You know, just being parked in a garage won't make you a car. And being seated in a sanctuary don't make you a saint. You have to believe. You have to believe what the word is. You have to believe what is at the heart and soul of the gospel. And you have to take God's word and literally apply it to your life. I think it was on the video of the marriage conference that I saw one couple speaking. And one lady said, you know, I had to really trust God. I had to put this in practice. And that's what you have to do. You have to put your faith in practice. And God will test you. He will orchestrate circumstances and situations, not so that you could fail or not so that you could prove something to God, but so that you can know for yourself that either you are the real deal or you got some growing to do. Man, people can be crazy in this world. People can do some ugly things. Man, and it can vex your spirit. It can. God, I know I'm telling you. Listen, man, I got a backup here. And you can't see them now because God took every one of them knives out. I had a bunch of them. And you can't tell me what hurt can't do to you. Hurt can mess you up. But the Lord is telling us you don't have to be hurt by hurtful people. You can rejoice always. You can rise beyond what's natural and go in the realm of the supernatural, and you can rejoice when you know what you know, when you know who you know, when you know that he's real. And when you know that his word is true, and when you know that his promises are going to be what his promises are, then you can rejoice. But when you're not sure or you don't know, then it makes it hard to rejoice. The second hindrance that comes is Satan himself. Satan don't want you to rejoice. What you waving your hand for? Take your hand down. What you talking about? Praise the Lord. God ain't done nothing for you. What you trying to do? You trying to impress somebody. God, you don't need to do that. You don't need to say that. Don't agree with that. Hush. Go to sleep. Do something else. And Satan himself will try to be a hindrance to your rejoicing. You at home, you trying to get your praise on, you in your moment, and you say, God, I'm gonna love on you, I'm gonna praise you, I'm gonna honor you, and then somebody rang the phone, or somebody called, the doorbell rang, or something else, and they just take you totally out of the mind frame that you had, that when you wanted to give your heart to God. Satan will always come. Listen, don't think that you are an exception when Jesus now, the divine Son of God, had just been baptized in the Jordan River. And God opened heaven and said, thou art my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Then Satan comes around on the other side and said, hey, If you be the Son of God. God had just said, you are. And Satan said, if you be the Son of God, then turn these stones into bread. And if he tried to get in Jesus' head, what make you think he won't try to get in your head? His whole job is to kill, steal, and destroy. And what he wants to destroy more than anything is your praise, is your rejoicing. Shut up. Don't say it. Jesus came riding in Jerusalem, and the people said, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the prophet of Nazareth. And the Pharisees said, shut up. And Jesus said, if these don't cry out, I'll make the very rocks cry out. Listen, I don't need no rock crying for me. I'll praise him in the morning. I'll praise him at noon. I'll praise him at midnight. If he wakes me up, I'll tell him thank you for another day's journey. Rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice always in the Lord. And the last one I'll give to you today is unbelief. Unbelief is a hindrance. It's very similar to a false salvation. A false salvation is you think you're saved and you're not. Unbelief is where you just decide, I just don't believe it. I'm just not going to hear it. I'm just not going to accept it. I just don't think it's real. I think it's too much made up in what this is all about. Let me tell you something. Yes, there are some pretenders, but there are some legitimate contenders. There are some people who have been tried by the fire. And those who have been tried by the fire will tell you, oh, you may not think it's real, but I know it's real. Come here, Abraham, get up from your kinfolk and go to a land that I'll show you. Abraham said, I didn't know where I was going, but I believed God, and he took me, and he made a great nation out of me. Come here, Daniel. Oh, they're going to put me in the lion's den, but my God will lock the jaws of a lion. Come here, Paul. Come here, Silas. They put me in a Philippian jail, but it didn't stop me, because I knew that at midnight, my God would send an earthquake and would shake the foundations of the jail. Ask me. I'll tell you, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restored my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even when I get in trouble, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff that comfort me prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Anoint my head with oil, cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy follows me now all of the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So I say to you today, rejoice. Just look at your situation and say, oh, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You thought you were going to stop God from getting the praise, but God's going to get more of the glory now, because I know that he's not through yet. And I don't know how it's going to come out, but I'm still going to rejoice. Even though it breaks my heart, I'm still going to lift up my hand. Even though I don't understand it, but I know that by and by it's going to get better. If it doesn't get better, it won't make me bitter, because I'm still going to love the Lord. He heard my cry, pitied my every groan. Long as I live in trouble rise, I'll hasten to his throne. I love the Lord. Just want to praise you. Just want to praise you for all you've done. See, anybody here grateful? That's all I'm asking. You just got to be grateful. You just got to be grateful. See, that's what brings the rejoicing, is an attitude of gratitude for who God is, for what God's word says, and for all that he is. And I'm just grateful today. That's all I can say. I'm just grateful. I'm just grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the things that God has done. I'm grateful for the victories that we have won. And I could go on and on and on and on and on about this word, because I'm grateful for the things God has done. Doors open. Doors of the church open. Somebody might be here today. Somebody might want to get their heart to God. You may want to start this walk. You may want to begin. This is your moment today. The Lord loves you. God cares about you so much. He want to bless you. He want to change you. He want to make your circumstances different. Come today. Come by letter. Come on your own Christian experience. Come as a candidate for baptism. Doors open anytime to sing a song. Or just close your eyes and just praise God with you. Listen now.
Yes, I'm grateful for the victories we won. I could go on and on and on about
meditate in that for a moment. Just let that just resonate with your spirit. When you are a grateful person, you can be a rejoicing person. Because what it really is really contentment. It's really learning to be all right. No matter what. When I got it, I'm all right. When I don't have it, I'm all right. When people are with me, I'm all right. When I feel alone, I'm all right. Because I'm grateful. I'm just grateful. I'm thankful. And when you're that kind of person, nobody can handle you. Nobody can block you. Nobody can stop you. Paul was a grateful person. So this man lived in such a way. He made his own mission statement. He said, for me to live is Christ. And even if I die, it's gain. Because he was just that grateful. That willing to hold on to God's hand. I know we got to go this morning. I don't like cutting that spirit short, man. But I tell you, we thank God for him. We got a study time coming. I want you to attend the class of your choice, the Sunday school class of your choice, and be blessed as you go forward at the end of the day. God bless you. Brings our service to close. Let's stand together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Come on, let's praise him now. Listen, it says praise him. Come on, hit it hard.
Enjoyed the broadcast. You have been listening to a message from the Greater Shallow Missionary Baptist Church, where we are reaching the world for Christ, located at 2135 Jefferson Avenue Southwest, Birmingham, Alabama 35211. For a copy of a CD or DVD, you can reach us at 205-925-5972 or visit us on the web at www.greatershallow.org for an uplifting message. Please join us for the next broadcast.